Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
I say this all the time, but you're going to love my next guest. She is an expert email marketer known as the Queen of Evergreen. She makes taking time off possible and profitable for 6-, 7-, and 8-figure business owners through her unique email sequences. Brittany lives in rural Central Florida. Think an introvert heaven, small mom and pop bakeries, and freshwater springs. With her husband, 1-year-old daughter, her quarantine baby, and their 2 dogs, Brittany nerds out over all things email marketing, space, and delicious foods. But what I love about Brittany, she's going to bring to you, and she is going to talk to you about making life transitions and what to do when you know there is more out there for you. Let's dive in. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. All right, Brittany, welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine. And I am so excited to have the Queen of Evergreen here.
I'm so excited to be here.
And you know what's funny is I bet there's a ton of listeners too that don't know what Evergreen is, because 2 years ago, I did not know what Evergreen was. And when I started taking stuff online, it was like learning a foreign language. Mm-hmm. And I was in a mastermind that was way in over my head. And I didn't know what a Facebook pixel was, which now I laugh, but I'm like, oh yeah, I really didn't know what I was doing. And they kept saying the word evergreen. And I finally leaned over and I was like, what is that? So when I met you 2 years forward, and I don't know what I'm talking about, sort of, I had not thought about it in relation to email. So I love that. But what I really love about you is your spirit and your energy. And you just, like, in a room of, I don't remember how many people were there in May at this mastermind, there was probably 60, 70. You just attract people naturally to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I love that. And I'm still sad we didn't get to go on our hike, but hey, next time. Oh,
next time. Next time.
I'm going to that waterfall. It's the last thing I do. So one of my passions is helping women design a life they love. Mm-hmm. And I think as women, we lose who we are, our identity, as we get busy, or we sometimes get into careers where we're like, this doesn't seem as fulfilling as I thought it should be, but we don't know how to change that or transfer to something else. But you know, I think one of the things I've heard you say is, you know, in your gut, there's something other out there for you. Mm-hmm. So I would love for you to share how you went through this journey yourself.
Okay, it's a little bit of a roller coaster, so strap yourself in. Strap yourself in for this one.
I'm ready.
Okay, so I went to college. Well, actually, even before that, when I was in high school, I was like, I guess I'll work with kids. Like, that seems fun, and I should like kids. So, like, I mean, nobody usually says, oh, like, I don't like kids. So I felt like I should like kids. I would probably be good at this. I like teaching kind of stuff. So I thought, well, I'll do something in children's ministry. Like, I guess that's the path that I'll take. So that's what I decided. So I went to a Christian college for children's ministry, did that for about a year, and realized I like kids, but not like I thought that I did. I didn't, especially with the younger ones, I just did not enjoy it like I thought that I should be enjoying it. And that was kind of that first indication for me that, okay, maybe this isn't the right fit for me. And I felt loads of guilt and shame and all the things for saying and committing when I was a high schooler that I was going to do something. And I know sometimes people feel that too, where they're like, well, I said I was going to do this. I went to school for this. I feel like I have to do this the rest of my life, or I'm wasting my money or time or whatever. And so I felt all those things, but I knew deep down, I can't see myself enjoying this for the next 50 years. I need to figure out something else. So figured out a few other things. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought it was personal training. I love the idea of helping people. I've always been a helper. I really enjoy that. So I thought, well, maybe personal training is the thing. You know, it can help people have lasting effects, help them long-term have a healthier or a more fulfilling life because they can do more. So I thought maybe it's that. Turns out there's a lot of early mornings with that, which I don't like super love. And then I also didn't like how I would, you know, tell somebody what to do that could help them, and then they wouldn't do it, and they wouldn't do it, and they wouldn't do it. So I was like, okay, this isn't for me. So then I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just work at my alma mater, which is what I was doing. I was doing social media, data entry. It was something I could put headphones in and just like work. It was mindless work, but that wasn't super fulfilling either. I know, shocker, but it wasn't fulfilling for me. And so I thought, well, maybe teaching. I like helping people. I know it's still with kids, but maybe middle school, like teaching middle school would be different. So I got hired to teach middle school science. And the first 2 years of it, I loved it. It was fantastic. It was fulfilling. I felt like I was making a difference. And then I got sick. It was December of my second year. And I was a science teacher. So I was grading science fair projects. And I remember showing up. I was sick as a dog, super high fever. Like, looking back now, I'm like, what was I thinking? But at the time, super high fever. Like, my face was like chalk white and should not have gone in, but I did because I was like, well, it's for the kids, and everything was for the kids. And I wasn't seeing my own family because I was worried about somebody else's family and somebody else's kids. And then, and this is going to maybe sound weird, but a few students came in. We'd been working on the science fair stuff for over a month. They came in with nothing, like nothing done at all. And I remember feeling so devastated. It's funny now. It wasn't funny then, but I remember feeling so devastated because I felt like it was a reflection on me and who I was as a teacher and all these other things. And I felt so devastated they didn't do this when I was showing up. Like, I felt like I'm showing up. Like, why aren't you doing your end of the bargain? And now being outside of that, I'm like, well, they're kids. Like, this isn't something they're super interested in. Like, it's nothing about you at all. But it felt like it was because I had poured so much of my identity into being a teacher. And so then that summer I had a cancer scare. Oh. And I went in for a normal everyday check, or not everyday, but a normal checkup, yearly checkup. And I remember sitting there and I knew something was wrong because of how they were talking about it. And they wanted me to come back and get some results and stuff. And so they said, well, we'll call you in 2 weeks. And then it wasn't 2 weeks. It was like 3 days that they called me and they wanted me to come in. And I remember sitting on the metal, you know, bed thing that you have with the paper on top of it and stuff. And them telling me that I had cancer and that it was aggressive. And like, it wasn't even my normal doctor. It was a doctor I'd never met with before. They're telling me it was aggressive. And I thought that I was going to die that year. Like, I thought that's how my story was ending. And I remember being so angry that I had spent so much of my time worrying about other people's families and not my own. And I was angry that I had spent so much of my time thinking, I have time to figure this out later. I have time to see who I'm supposed to be later. I have time to travel later, take vacations later, spend time with my family later. I had been pushing off all of those deep, meaningful life activities because I thought I had time. And all of a sudden I was faced with this idea that I might not have time. Right. And it was devastating. It was shocking. It was awful. So for about 2 weeks, I kind of lived in this realm of, what am I going to do? I went in to see a specialist. this is one of the weirdest parts of it. I went in to see a specialist and they were like, why are you so concerned? And I was like, because I'm dying. Your people said that I was dying. That's why I'm concerned. And the doctor was like, that's not true at all. She's like, you have precancerous cells. They're not like they're localized. They're in one place. Like there's a minor surgery that we can do before we even talk about anything else, before we talk about chemotherapy, before we even touch on any of these things. She's like, no, we can fix this with a simple surgery and it'll probably never come back again. And that's been the case. And so it's really wild to think that in a 2-week period, I went from thinking I'm dying to, oh my gosh, I'm not dying. And it completely turned everything on its head for me. And I wanted to go back to the before that happened, where I could just be like, oh, I have time later, but I couldn't, because I knew deep down what I was doing was not what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that there had to be something more than working all day and all night for other people, and I really enjoyed the students that I worked with, but at the same time, I wanted to spend more time with my family, with my husband, and I wasn't, because I was so focused on the job. And so I knew I couldn't go back to that, but I didn't know what I did want to do. And so over that, the course of another 2 years, I tried different schools. I thought, well, maybe it's just the school that I'm at. It wasn't. I tried over, in my time of doing all these different things, I tried over 27 side hustles, like no joke. I counted it over 27 side hustles to figure out what I wanted to do. And some of them I was okay at, but I didn't enjoy. Some of them I enjoyed, but I really stunk at. And then some of them were somewhere in between, anywhere from doing graphics to funnel building to email marketing. And that's really where I found my passion, is email marketing, specifically with sequences. And I like it because I get to have an impact on more people. Like, I write emails for other people. It helps them make money, but it also helps their audience. And so my emails have gone out to to millions of people. Yeah. My words have been able to impact millions of people, and I get to write for a living. Like, it's just not what I ever expected was possible. And I think that's probably my favorite part about all of this, is that what I thought was possible even a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, there's so much more that's possible that I just had no idea about, because I was living in my own little box of, here's all the things that I know. And since I'm a former middle school science teacher, I liken it to the observable universe. So we have the observable universe, which is the things that we can see in space, the universe that we know as is. But scientists think that there's so much more out there that we just can't see yet. So many more galaxies, so many more stars that we just have no idea it's out there, because we can't see that far yet. And I think that's how it is with finding your purpose and your passion, of it's so much deeper, I think, than we realize, and so much more fulfilling, and so much more like fullness of who we can be. And we just don't know it yet. And so it takes that chipping away and that small steps to figure it out until we can see more and do more and be more.
I love your story. I relate to it, because I was a teacher as well. And I was, one day I was like, I loved it, loved kids. But then one day I was like, I don't really want to teach your kids to read anymore. I just want to talk to them. Yeah. I thought, this is not good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could survive. That's when I quit and went back to be a counselor. And I started with children. Then I went to marriage. Now I'm in online, and now I'm with women. And I'm like, how many times can I pivot in a 10-year period? But I'm so in alignment with it. It makes a difference.
Yeah, it really does. It just feels different when you're in alignment with it. Like, you can be in flow easier, and you can impact more people when you're not trying to fit your square or star shaped, peg into a different shaped hole.
And I wonder, how was your husband? Were you married during this time? How was he with these changes? Because my husband is very much follow the rules and let's just do what we're supposed to do and get by. And I am like giving him whiplash all over the place.
I think whiplash is probably an appropriate term also for us. I'm of the two of us, I'm definitely the dreamer that's like, oh, think of all the things that we could do. And he's definitely more of like the tried and true, steady, that kind of thing. And he was a teacher too. And I think he probably would have stayed a teacher unless he had seen what was possible for us with me making that leap. And now he works with our company, like we're co-owners, and it's great. Yeah. But it's especially, I think, for people that have that slow and steady, like tried and true kind of mentality, it's a big shift to try different things. And I think a lot of teachers have that mentality too, because teaching feels safe. Because we've been told this, I don't know if it's a lie or a truth or whatever, but we've been told that, people always need teachers. And so it feels like a safe, secure job. But then when you look at some of the things that teachers have to deal with, and it's not safe, it's not secure, it's not healthy for a lot of, not all of them, obviously, but for a lot of environments, it's not. But yeah, all that to say, it was definitely a lot of leaps of faith, I think, for him to, especially the beginning, to see me try all these different side hustles and them not work out. and me go from thing to thing to thing to thing. I think when I finally stuck with something and started making money, that's where he was like, okay, this might be possible. But I felt like I had to prove that I wasn't going to just keep jumping around. Not to say that I have to prove myself to anyone, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like a trust thing where you have to show I'm going to stick with this. I said I'm going to do this and I'm going to follow through on it.
Absolutely. And I think for some of our spouses, they need that safety and security mm-hmm. as well, because mine is in that spot right now where I'm like, could you maybe learn Facebook ads right now? Could you maybe do this? And he don't want any part of it, but mm-hmm. I guarantee you, and I told him this, and this is going to be a little vulnerable for me to put out, but I said, when I finally make money at this and you decide you want on board, I think that's going to really upset me. Like mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. I think that like he needs that validation, but I think it's going to make me mad first. I'm like, I'm already projecting my future emotions. I mean, that's really good. At least I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it takes a while for people to come around, especially if it's not something you've ever seen before. Like for me, I grew up with, my dad was a teacher. My mom was an interpreter for the deaf. And mm-hmm. then before that, she stayed home with us. And so that was the life that I saw. And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to be in children's ministry, because I saw her in, you know, working with kids and stuff like that. I saw my dad working with kids. And so I felt like this is a natural next step for me. I like helping people. This is what I've seen. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's important to hang out with people that are doing different things, that are testing the boundaries, that maybe scare the crap out of us so that we can see what else is possible for us too.
Absolutely. And I think too many, especially as women, like we just stay steady and we're so busy and we're so overwhelmed being the mom, business owner, entrepreneur, CEO, whatever you are, or even just like, I stayed at home with my kids. I was a high achieving stay at home mom and I hated every minute of it. Mm-hmm. The shame and the guilt I felt from like, no, I got to get out of here. Like I love my children, but I am a much better person if I have something else and much better for them. But I knew they needed me home at that moment. But also I think we just, as women, kind of go along with whatever happens to us in life because we are so busy. We are overwhelmed with all the hats and we don't pause long enough to say, I'm really not happy with myself anymore.
Or even maybe allow ourselves to think that. I've noticed that before where it's like a dirty word or something where you don't want to say it out loud of, I don't think that I'm happy with what I'm doing. I felt that was teaching for sure. And I felt so much guilt and shame over that. Like what kind of terrible person am I if I don't like working with kids anymore? Anyway, so there's a lot of guilt and shame with that. So, but I read the book, it's by Darren Hardy. It was The Compound Effect, and it's a short book. It's not very long, but that was such a game-changing kind of book for me because it was the first time I think in my life that I realized I could impact my future outcome. And that might sound to some people, but for me, it hadn't really ever crossed my mind. I was a hard worker and I knew working hard, but I didn't know that my future could be largely shaped by the small thoughts that I think every day.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's funny because I just interviewed someone else before you. Her name's Liza Hippler. And that's one of the things she said. She's a brand photographer and she talked about women being in alignment with who they are. And like, she has a whole nother coaching thing on top of the brand photography. But I stopped her because she said the exact same thing. And I really want to make sure that people are hearing this, especially if they're listening back to back. Now they're going to really get it reinforced. It is the small day to day things that make the big difference.
Yep. It's so funny that you say that because before we got on this call, so I record videos of myself every once in a while on highs and lows and everywhere in between. So I have like this video diary over the past over a year now, or sometimes I'll write it, but like just sharing what I did that day, what I was working on. And so I can see those small steps adding up now. They did not feel like they were adding up at the beginning of this year, but they're definitely adding up now. And so it's cool to see. But the thing I was recording on that video, I was saying, this is the small steps. Like I'm done with these big outrageous, I'm going to work all night and do all the, like, this is not working for me. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or I'm tired because I have a baby now or what, but whatever it is, it's not working for me.
Check, check.
And yeah, yeah. And I thought, okay, I'm never going to go on another crash diet. I'm never going to say, oh, I'll just you know, work out really hard for 3 months and then I'll be good to go. Like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never saying I'm going to work all night and the next night and the next night. No, I'm going to take small steps and that's what's going to get me where I want to go. And I was telling myself, I was saying, this is why I know that I'll be a millionaire by the time I'm 40. This is why I know that I'm going to be healthy and stay healthy the rest of my life, because I'm taking these small steps. And it's the only thing that consistently works. And it's not sexy. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's not fun or exciting, or look how much I lost, did whatever in 6 months. It's not like those exciting headlines, but it's what works. And so I'd rather have what works than the sexy headline.
Absolutely. And, you know, because I'm also a marriage therapist, that was my number one thing I would tell people is small things often, like ingrain it in your head, small things often. And it's funny because I just posted about this today on Instagram as we're recording this at September 9th. But my husband started making smoothies a couple days a week and he brings them to me. So if I'm in the backyard still doing my Bible study, or if I'm in the, like today, small things often. Yeah, write it everywhere. And it's in all your relationships. It's with your kids, it's with your marriage. And this came from like a major marriage researcher that, like, that is his, Dr. John Gottman. He's like, small things often, but people don't get what that means. So for me, like in marriage today, it was, I realized this is what my husband's been doing. My husband, if you do the love languages ever, like, he's very much acts of service and I am very much not. So he can do things all day long, like the laundry and the dishes, and I don't care. Like, every other, my friends are like, please bring your husband to my house. I'm like, it means nothing. Just sit your butt down with me and talk to me. Right. So he's been making these smoothies for a few weeks now, just a couple days a week. And today I was in the bathroom because I needed to get to work earlier than normal. And he brings it and he just sets it on the counter when I was in the shower. And I thought, that's so nice. Like, I really hadn't thought anything about these smoothies. And I was thinking, like, we kind of like have a smoothie date twice a week.
Like, oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's like a smoothie date, but it's not like a date you're thinking of. Like, it's not, we're not sitting there talking, like, cause often we're having him in the backyard while he, I'm doing one thing, he's doing the other, but we're together. We're not talking and whispering sweet nothings to each other, but at the same time, it felt like, oh my gosh, he's been dating me this whole time and I didn't even notice because it was in the act of making the smoothie and finding me and bringing it to me.
That's so sweet.
Yes. And we weren't always there, because if you go back to the podcast, you figure out that I use the ex angriest wife on earth. So full circle. But I love that because it's just a difference. And I think that people have to take that into their personal self as well. And we get so busy, overwhelmed. And I love what you said at the very beginning. I'm going to do that later. I'm going to do that later. I'm going to do that when I lose the weight, when I make this amount of money, when I get that promotion, when my kids are this age, when, and when never gets here.
Nope.
Later, never. Never here. Right. We get later. We hit that, but not in the way that we propel ourselves. So how do you, you've talked about it a lot, but how do you really go about intentionally creating a life that you love, that aligns with who you are and what you're made to do? We know how you got here, but how do you keep doing that instead of just getting back to busy, busy?
So for me, it started with, I don't want to ever be in this position again. Any major catalyst moment for me has started with that. I don't want to ever be in this position again. Maybe it's, I don't ever want to be in a position again where somebody treats me that way. I don't ever want to be in a position again where I'm this sick or I have to worry about X, Y, and Z. But whatever it is, it's always started with, I don't want to ever be in that position again. What I've noticed though, when I've transitioned from waiting for these giant catalyst moments to trying to find the moments in every day, is that I don't ever want to be in this position again. It does not last. It lasts maybe a month, maybe 2 months. And then that memory of the thing that hurts so much that I don't want to experience again kind of goes away and I forget about it until something else happens again and brings me back to that. And so what I realize is more effective for me is every day setting intentions at the beginning of the day of, this is who I want to become. I'm not who that person is yet, but this is who I plan to be in X amount of time. And so I started with coming up with what my values are and what future Brittany wants. So what does deathbed Brittany or future Brittany want her life to look like? And where we live, there's a lot of older folks that are in their 80s and their 90s. And some of them go to Zumba, where I go to Zumba as well. And I see them there working out. I see them doing Zumba. And I think that's what I want. When I'm that age, that's what I want. I want to be that mobile. I want to be spending time with people that I like spending time with. I want to be, you know, in this committed relationship with my husband. So like, those are the things that I want. But if the actions that I'm taking today won't get me there, then I'm not going to get there. And so I think a lot about what future Brittany wants, and that helps shape a lot of my decisions on like the day to day. But just knowing like future Brittany is inevitable, whether she makes it to 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or over that, hopefully it's inevitable. But what do I want life to look like then is really what I come back to. And so I try to set my intentions for the day. And then I also, like I said, I do the videos, or I try to write every day or almost every day for just a few minutes, kind of recapping the tasks, not the tasks, but like the actions that I took. And then also being intentional about the language that I use and how it reflects my priorities. My husband pointed out to me probably about a month ago now, that when he asks, how was your day? Often I say, oh, it was really productive. It was a great day. It was really productive. And I got to hang out with you and Gracie. But I always will say if it's productive or not. And so when he pointed that out to me, I was like, okay, so right now I'm setting my priority as being productive. And yes, that might help, you know, 2 years from now, Brittany, but is it going to help future Brittany that's older, that wants to have these beautiful, deep, meaningful relationships with my family? Honestly, probably not as much as I would like. And so that means it needs to shift. And so even like changing my language to that of when he asks, how was your day? I'm like, all right, for the meaningful activities, the things that future Brittany wants to cultivate, how was my day? I got to spend time with you guys. It was great. And so it's just like little tweaks like that that I've noticed make a huge difference long-term.
I love that, because my audience is high achieving women, like mm-hmm. for sure. And yeah, and that's pretty much what I have on the podcast too, because I feel it so many ways. And I think we're hard. All women are hard on themselves, but we especially can go negative real quick or make our priority the productivity. Like, yeah, I'm going to record 6 podcasts today. Well, yeah, I'm going to feel good about that because I'm going to be ahead and it's not going to stress me out later. But that isn't what's going to make my day good. My day good is I get to talk to people like you, and I get to see people that I don't normally get to talk to that much. Like, that's what I love about it. Yeah, later for productivity standpoint, I'm going to feel really good in about December when I've got all this done.
Yeah. Yep.
So I love that. So what is one thing that you've done that you think most people won't know you did or believe you did?
Wow. Okay. I think we keep going back to little things, but that's really what it is. I think we're getting to the point soon in our company that it's going to look like an overnight success. The people that don't talk to me on the daily are going to think, man, you have it easy. And I think they're not going to know. Yeah. The mental work that it's taken to get to this place, the day in and day out of I'm not going to give up, even though it is hard right now. I think those are probably some of the biggest things. And just the amount of mindset work that has gone into our business, our life, I think those are probably the biggest things. And when I think about who I was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and the people that knew me then, I'm like, man, I wish that they knew me now, because there's so much that's changed for the better. And I hate the idea of people thinking that I'm still that person. Not that that person is bad or anything like that, but there's just so much growth that's happened. And so I think most people wouldn't know the amount of mindset work that I put in and the amount of Voxers that I've sent my coaches being like, what do I do? I think that's probably a big one too.
I love that, because usually when people answer that question, it's like, oh, I went skydiving or I went this, but we don't talk about, that's why I love this couch time, is we don't talk about the hard work that goes in, or the fact that there is, especially when you go to work for yourself and then all the pressure becomes on you to provide.
Oh my God. It's so much pressure.
Huge, huge. And I've fallen into that just by crazy circumstances over the last year, where I was never there before. Mm-hmm. And I have a whole new respect, but the mindset work, like we're talking now, people would not know that yesterday I was on Voxer with the coach bawling my eyes out going, I can't do it. And having this drama moment where I just felt so dumb. Like I felt so inadequate. And then having them come back with 3 questions and one of them rocking my world, like just, I needed to do the work. And I've been so released since then. Thank you, God. But I didn't really want to do that yesterday. There's no part of me. I just wanted to write my lead magnet. I did not. Yeah.
It's always so much more than a lead magnet, isn't it?
I did not want to say something happens when I have to go put this on a piece of paper to send to my coach. Something happens when she asks me questions. And I finally think I figured it out, but that's a whole story for another day. But it is that mindset. Like, we don't take the time. That's why I'm so passionate about in alignment with this, because I did not take the time for decades or more to figure out until I was forced to sit in the backyard and figure out, what do I want to do? And I literally cried for 6 weeks, and I am not a crier. So I keep saying that, but I was crying yesterday.
It takes a lot of work.
It takes a lot of work. And I think the other thing we don't allow ourselves is that community to do it with.
Yes.
Because we think we have to perform. We have to be whatever successful means and show that, but not show the weakness. So thank you so much for sharing all that with me today. And before we go, I want you to tell them how they can find you and how they can work with you, because I know there are people listening that need your email sequences, and they are fantastic.
Thank you. You can reach me at Brittany@winwithsystems.com, and the website is winwithsystems.com, but the email is the best way to reach out to us. So thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And it was just so wonderful talking to you. I always love talking to you.
I do too. And I can't wait till we go to Disney in November. I'm ready.
Me too.
I'm ready. I get overwhelmed at Disney. I got overwhelmed in Connecticut in May, but I get overwhelmed at Disney as well. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, that plus a Connecticut experience, like, I may be hiding under my covers. The introvert me may be like, where's Amy? It's gonna be like, where's Waldo? But where is Amy?
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna take one of the days or half of the one of the days and just stay in the room and kind of like reflect on everything and be okay with that. So yeah, I get it.
I know. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges, from reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and, yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.